It's a distinct privilege to be able to introduce to you Ibrahim. He says Abraham. It just sounds so unexotic to say Abraham. I'd rather, you know, Shalub and his wife Mary. As you know, the conference, those of you that were able to make it, was focused on the challenge of Islam and the church and how we're to meet the opportunity that's being given to us in this present day with the increase of the Muslim population in America. It really does give us an extraordinary opportunity in time. And up until this week, I had only heard Ibrahim's name from a friend. And then we got an opportunity to meet on Thursday. And when we did, you know how it is when you all of a sudden find out you've got a really wonderful family member that you didn't know you had? It's a whole lot better than finding out you've got that weird Uncle Chauncey. And he isn't a weird Uncle Chauncey. There was an immediate just opportunity to connect and to sense his heart for the Lord. And I'm going to let him share his own testimony and background with you. But this, I think, is what you should know. And Abe and his wife Mary are residents of Pittsford, so they're close by. They're resources that we can grab at a moment's notice. But they're part of the U.S. International Ministries Group for Navigators. And some of you know what Navigators is, and some of you don't. Navigators was begun in the 1930s by Dawson Trotman. And the focus of Navigators as an organization is discipleship, to really not simply make converts, quote-unquote, but true disciples of Christ. They have a byline, which you'll see on almost all of their literature at some point in time, which is to know Christ and to make him known. That's the focus. Four areas that they specialize in then, and that's teaching one another Bible study, a consistent, meaningful prayer life, scripture memorization, and then scripture application in life. As a matter of fact, if you go to their website right now, it will mention 2 Timothy 2:2, to equip, to teach others what we have learned. That is so important in our day and age, because we're not simply trying, as we said, to get converts, good and well that men come to know Christ savingly, but to grow in him and to minister him to others. This is the heartbeat. And as our brother will share in just a moment, that heartbeat beats as much in the Middle East as it does here. And what the Lord is doing there and what has happened in his own life and how that comes to us, I think, is an extraordinarily fitting cap to our weekend. So, brother, if you'll come and share your heart with us, we will be most grateful.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
All right, we've got you.
It's really a privilege to be here this morning. I know Pastor Ferguson had to schedule about a year ago. He booked me in, you know, because my schedule is so full, you know. It's so refreshing also that I think I know I came here and I got to meet a few people from about 20 years, Mike, 25 years, I done, and let's see who else. I know a few people here, but I would like to introduce to you. Is this, excuse me.
Make sure we've got
four. Thank you. I would like to introduce to me my better half. Mary, you want to stand up, hon? We've been married for 34 years, and it's still kicking and going, man. Praise the Lord. Also, I would like to introduce to you dear friends, really family, Fred and Joe. They've been visiting us from New Jersey. So, and they've been living here for a while. In any case, what I'm going to talk today about is God's redemption and enabling power in the Middle East. A heart for one. And if I fix this somehow, it will come, hopefully, maybe not. Okay?
There we are.
It's there? Okay.
Not sure what else.
Let's see here. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll a heart for one and a vision for the world. When I met with Pastor Ferguson, the first thing our heart connected as we were talking about advancing God's kingdom in the world, he choked. I mean, he had tears in his heart. And in my heart, when I went home, I said, you know, my heart is after this man. I would like to seek his counsel and get to know him more. So praise the Lord, man, I tell you. Okay, and I might call you, by the way, when I'm in a sticky theological situation. I will call you.
Yeah, I can stick some things together.
We've been having a fantastic life since we came to the U.S., and I will share with you a little bit about our background. I want to share with you about also what's happening in the Middle East. You know, when we hear about Muslims, we tend to be fearful a little bit. But let me tell you something. God's power, God's redemptive power is working mightily in Turkey, in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Syria, in UAE, in Iran. God is doing great things. And I would like to share a few stories about the redemptive power among Muslims. If I can get this going. And Middle East, it's I want to focus on Arabic-speaking countries. All right? If you look into Turkey, sorry, let me see if... can you see my arrow here?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So when I mention MENA region, it's Middle East and North Africa region. Okay, because that's part of God's calling in my new role with the navigators. So we're talking about Turkey. We're talking about Iran here, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon, which is my original country, a small, small country there, where all the wars and... I don't know what happened. And also Saudi Arabia, Oman, Yemen, you will see it, and then North Africa. You have Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Morocco, the other side, and then Sudan. So that's the region God is calling us to really advance His kingdom. You've all heard of the 1040 window. And basically the 1040 is the 10 degree and 40 degree off the equator. And you can see the blue section, if you will, going all across China, India, of course the Middle East, and then you have Northern Africa. So when we talk about the 1040, it's that side. There's some statistics, it's really staggering. I think I'm pushing the wrong button, Pastor. Okay. Looking at the 1040 window of nations, world population, 6 billion. 4 billion people live within this window. 87% are the poorest of the world's poor. 95% of the people are unevangelized. 1.6 billion have never heard the gospel message. Every major non-Christian religion is headquartered there. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, animism. Some of them I even don't know in detail. Atheism. Out of the 59 countries, brothers and sisters, 53 countries are Muslims. The church and the body of Christ is very much a minority. The challenge. You've all heard the story of Jonah. You know, Jonah didn't want to save anybody. Didn't want to share the good news, especially to the Ninevites. But God's redemptive power and love wants Ninevites to really come to know Adonai, to know Jehovah, to know the Lord of Lords, to know God. And we all know the story. Jonah didn't want to go. God's intervention, a big whale swallowed him. And then he arrived into Nineveh. Nineveh's king came to know God Almighty. The people came to know God Almighty. And guess what happened to Jonah? He was depressed, poor guy. I mean, really, if you read it, he wasn't very, very happy. You know? The same experience happened to me and my wife as far as Muslims. We came to know Christ in an American high school through a navigator missionary in 1968. I remember 1968, Pastor Ferguson. I knelt after I studied the Bible and accepted Christ into my heart. I then realized that my Greek Orthodox background didn't make me a Christian, but I had to make a decision. And what a beautiful ride had been in Christ. I finished high school, came to the States, I finished my first degree, and then went back on the basis that I want to go back and serve the Lord there. And of course, got married to my high school sweetheart, Mary, and I start teaching. And then the war started in 1974-75. And during that time, I remember when I was growing up in high school, we had Muslim friends, really good people. I mean, we were having fun. We'd go visit with them. They come visit me with us. We did not think about, boy, you're Al-Qaeda, or you are, you know, you're going to blow me up with your belt around your body or anything like that. It was just really good friendships. As a matter of fact, I remember a good friend of mine, Ahmed. We used to walk on the soccer field Saturday morning, and I will pray for my Lord Jesus Christ, and he will turn around and pray for, you know, for whatever, okay? And so it's that close. And it's interesting, when I went back, first time after so many years in Lebanon, we went and visited and had lunch with them. And what a glorious meeting that was. They are opened to hear about Isa al-Masih. But so after we came back, went back to Lebanon, and the war started. And I don't want to, just I want to summarize my experience that through God's providence and mercy, He really saved us a few times from death. I mean, I can tell you stories, machine guns in my chest. They attacked my village, and I escaped about one day before. Ehan, we went to Syria. They killed my grandpa. They killed my best friend. So at that time, we were starting to think, Lord, I don't have a future here in Lebanon. I want to leave. And we came to the States. We got married and then came to the States. I didn't have a penny. Not one penny. I went begging through with relatives and friends, and God provided $6,000. I came with it. God loves us. And you know what? If He can take care of the birds, what's that? Of the birds in the lily, in the fields of lily, providing all their needs, He'll provide our needs. Because I'm very much aware of many of us being out of jobs. I want to just encourage you, hang in there. God has a special thing for you and I. God has a special thing for you and I. So, we came back, and I remember the first several years. If you mention Arabs or Muslims, to be honest with you, I really didn't care. Go share the Christ with them. Forget it. Let them go to you know where. That was my heart. 9/11 happened. And 9/11 brought all the bad memories into our lives. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I was faced with this question in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. As a matter of fact, where's my Bible? It's somewhere here. It's always with me. Chapter 10. I love this. You all know the story of Bartimaeus. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise, he is calling for you. And casting aside his cloak, and he jumped and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Wow. Now Jesus knew that the blind man wants to be healed. But Jesus purposely asked, what do you want me to do for you? Abraham, Mary, what do you want me to do for you? I said, Lord, and by the way, that day I left Kodak and went to my house crying, and I mean it was lots of memories. I said, Lord, I want to forgive my past and I want to love Muslims. I didn't know what I was asking. But guess what? His Holy Spirit, the transforming power of Jesus Christ, start to shake the hard soil in my heart and till it. And suddenly it is soft. And I start to befriend Muslim friends. And I start to really thinking about, Lord, for the rest of my life, what do you want me to do? And for the last several years, with the Navigators, I would go to Egypt, I would go to Lebanon, I would go to Jordan, I would go to Turkey, saying, Lord, every time I go, God kind of pulls me. In 2007, I was ready to quit Kodak. At that time, they didn't lay me off. God has a plan, other plans. But after prayer, something happened in the family, and we said, let's wait in God's timing. And then 2009 came. And what a timing when my manager and I talked, and he said, Abraham, sorry, your name has been called up. I said, my friend, the Lord had called my name up because I have been ready for the last few years. And I start encouraging him. You know that there's a higher calling. And don't worry, I'm going to be okay. And indeed, we have been very okay. So the last 2 years, we've been going through transition of full-time, working full-time. And I will share with you a few things about my role. You know, 2009, a year of celebration and anticipation. Okay? All right? If you don't work, push it there. It's God's sovereignty. My take on what happened. God transferred me from Kodak to the Navigators. And it's interesting. This is an old-fashioned way. I'm going to get a new one. Promoted me to marketing director and field operation. My friends, my head is up, I tell you that. The company is the kingdom of God. Territory serving the MENA region. Our product is the fantastic and good redemptive enabling power of the gospel and Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, I was, you can tell I was ready, huh? Our commission, and our brother read that. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, many of my caring friends will ask me, Abraham, aren't you afraid when you travel? Don't you worry about what might happen when you go to areas where, thank God I speak Arabic, I know Arabic, I know the culture, you know? And I tell them, you know what? It's part of the package. if they are living there, if they are serving God there, who am I not to be alongside them, to go to their homes, to go to where they are meeting, to meet many of followers of Christ from Muslim backgrounds? Who am I? And we have 50 staff in 8 of the 22 countries, many of them Americans. We have many locals also. Our vision is to really develop next generation. You know, so Muslim background becoming followers of Christ and taking the helm of the country to advance Christ's kingdom in their communities and their families. Wow! When I think of that vision, it's unbelievable. And you know what? It's happening. It's really starting to happen. So we have ministries in countries. We started in Syria the last few years. In Sudan, we sent a team from Egypt to Sudan. In Iran, we start to establish a contact. Just to give you something about Iran, by the way. God is using broadcast and internet to really shake the young generation there. There's lots of needs. In Egypt, which is, by the way, it's not really a free country, okay? And we're starting an internet ministry to meet all the needs of Muslims who want Bibles, who wants to really know about Isa al-Masih, okay? So, and then Algeria, we have a couple, Muslim background. In June, they will finish 3.5 years theological seminary in Beirut. And in June, they're going back to Algeria. And we're trying to help them and provide whatever means to go and be our missionary there. Our responsibility, I'm going to go fast for this, provide leadership, discipleship, provide resources, support, serve them, love them, you know, wash their feet if we need to, whatever it is. You know, the way I feel about it is, if you have seen Braveheart, the movie Braveheart, and you see that big battle at the end, when Mel Gibson is trying to, rally the troops. The first arrows, hundreds of arrows which come, guess which rows in those army they receive those arrows? The first few, the front. When I think of our missionaries and missionaries of other organizations, I think of them as our front row missionaries. They get the arrows. And you and I, by God's grace, through prayers, through support, encouragement, teaching, whatever it is, we are the rest of the army and trying to push them forward and be with them and help them. And of course, one of the key things is to help raise new generation of laborers and leaders. Pastor, I'm really kind of lost about time. What time is it now?
You've got till
about 11?
11:30.
You guys want to stay till 11:30?
We have to be out of here by noon. So if we break up by 11:30, we're good. So take a little bit of time and don't rush.
Well, I don't. Wow. I'll try to finish before then, because that'll be good. And one of my calling also, besides raising the next generations of leaders in the Middle East, is to really communicate and encourage and motivate the church. Like I'm doing here, that don't forget the church in the Middle East. Don't forget your brothers and sisters in this universal church of Jesus Christ, because they are in need. And you know, the thing is, do you know, I pray more for the U.S. Christians to get about our business of knowing our Lord and making Him known throughout our neighborhood, our work. Why? Because it's very critical for the Middle East. It's very critical that the church is strong. The church still has that breath, fresh breath, of sending missionaries, of supporting missionaries. We are in need of a strong church. So please, let's serve each other. Let's serve our Lord Jesus Christ wherever we're living. Okay? Especially here. People always had been in the heart of Jesus. After all, He came and died on the cross for people. And in my travels and in my staying in the Middle East, I like to share with you a few stories. I love to go where they are. I'll go with their farm in this picture. You know, old, young, in between. Get to know them. Them get to know me. Get my hands dirty, as they say. You know. I met Salah. Salah is a Muslim background. He was tuning a radio. He heard Monte Carlo broadcast from Europe. And he was fascinated about this Isa al-Masih, this Jesus Christ. To make a long story short, he came to follow Jesus Christ. He contacted our country leader in Egypt. This is in Egypt. And a Bible, an Arabic Bible was given to him. He put it under his mattress. When his dad knew about that, when his dad knew about it, he beat him up. He scolded him. He told him, no more. We don't want a Bible in this house. We don't want you to associate with Christians. Okay? So he did that for a while. But he made another mistake. He placed the Bible under something else. His mom came and found it. To make a long story short, his dad was so fanatically angry. He basically poured kerosene on him as he was sleeping and tried to burn him up. Okay? God saved Salah. God saved Salah. He did not die, but most of us, but I met him. I talked with him. I hugged him. And then, as he lived with some other relatives, he has an uncle. You know, people who are a little bit open, we call them men and women of peace. You have many Muslims who are men and women of peace. They are not fanatic. Okay? Believe me, there are many, there are hundreds, there are millions who are not very fanatic. We call them men and women of peace. So he came and started to rebuke his brother, the father. Why did you do that? Is this Islam? To make a long story short, he asked Salah this one question. What is it about Isa al-Masih that you were willing, Isa al-Masih is Jesus Christ. What is it about Jesus Christ that you're willing to give your life for Him? What a question. What a question. After 10 months of answering that from the Gospel of John, his uncle is so close to come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord. I want to tell you a story about a home church. We have 12 Muslim men who meet regularly and led by a Muslim person. And God is blessing them. We are trying, you know, the thing is, and you know, when you have a new culture, Pastor Ferguson, one of the danger is we want to bring them to our Christianity. We want them to be molded like we are. And I'll be honest with you, God have used me in churches, elder, chairman of elders, and I praise God for churches without, because the church is the hope because of Christ for the world. But sometimes I think we bring also layers. And at one time, I was almost like a Pharisee. And for the last 10 years, if you look at an onion, where Jesus Christ is the lub, we say in Arabic, is the inside, the pure. We put on layers that people, guess what they see? They don't see anymore the lub. You know? And so when you explain about Jesus, as in the New Testament, not, not Christianity, but Jesus Christ. And you tell them, friends, you can enter the kingdom of God directly. You don't need to be Christianized to go to the kingdom of God. You can go directly to the kingdom of God. And that opens really minds. Now, it doesn't mean there's no transformation. Let me tell you a story of a family in Syria. I shouldn't say. By the way, is this being tape recorded?
Yes.
Can I ask you a favor to give me that tape? I really, for reasons, my cousin, the director of our mission, one time he showed up in Egypt, and they expelled him back to the U.S. We knew why his name was on the blacklist. And it happened that his last name is, guess what? Shalhoub, like mine. So whenever I go, I really have plan A, plan B, because you never know. So I would really appreciate very confidentiality. And if you're videotaping, can I have a copy? I mean, if you want to keep a copy, fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but let me have a copy.
We won't publish.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to really get out of the internet and website. I don't know how I'm going to do it. If you go to Google, Ibrahim Shalhoub, my name pops up, you know. And, oh, Lord. Anyway. But you know what? It comes with a package. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? My answer is very simple. I don't know about your answer, but that's an answer you need to answer. You know, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Is, Lord, use me, my wife, and the church to leave a generation of Muslim Christians who will lead their families, their cultures, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If I die, and I know there were few people who reached a leadership position from Muslim backgrounds, Pastor Ferguson, I'm happy, man. I'm ready, Lord. Anytime, actually, but I'm ready. If you'll give me just a few years to accomplish that. I want to introduce you to Rasim and Nahida, the upper left. These are Syrian engineers. They're working full-time now with us in Lebanon, actually. They are living in Dahiya. Dahiya, it's in Beirut, South Beirut. When Israel attacked Lebanon, do you know which area was demolished totally? It's that area, Dahiya. Mainly they are Shiites. And you will think... Let me tell you, I went with him to Dahiya. We drove. And as we are driving and approaching the meeting area, I saw a tall man having a Bible over a hood of a car, wearing an American boots. I think he bought it from Texas or he got it from somewhere, from Texas. And I couldn't wait to meet him. I met him. We prayed. We talked. It turns out, He was an inside Hezbollah. See, I'm lowering my voice, not, you know. He was inside Hezbollah. God freed him. He came to know the true Messiah, the true Jesus. And he was sharing with us how he needed prayer for his son, 16 years old, who is with that organization and being bombarded with brainwashing and other things. So Rasim and Nahida has a powerful... I'll show you some pictures. Their home is a church. You'll find Alawites. You'll find Sunnis. You'll find Shiites. You'll find Kurds who escaped from Iraq. You'll find Iraqis who escaped from Iraq. And guess what? Before I show you the pictures, this is one of the verses which really touched my heart and kind of, Lord, hallelujah, I'm going to go, that's it. I pulled you in from all over the world, called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you, you are my servant, serving on my side. I have picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I am with you. There's no need to fear, for I am your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip on you. That's my Heavenly Father. That's my Daddy. That's my Daddy. That's my Father. And when the Lord starts working in us, guess what? Honestly, for some reason, I'm a chicken guy. I'm not like a bold, courageous man. I'm not. But He gives us bravery beyond us. Because the focus is Jesus. The focus is Jesus. Another verse which really meant a lot is John 16:33. I have told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in this godless world. You will continue to experience difficulties. That's a promise, guys. But take heart, I have conquered the world. You know, I hope these verses will encourage you. You know, we all have our problems, huh? I don't know about you guys, but I do. All right? But when I read the Word of God and I meditate on it, and through the Holy Spirit, it speaks to me, wow, it's awesome, you know? But take heart, I've conquered the world. This picture is an unbelievable picture. There are Syrians, Lebanese, Egyptians, Americans. About three of them are Muslim background. And we were fellowshipping and reading and encouraging one another. I want to show you another picture. I'm not going to say names or anything. But I want to point up to one person. Sorry, it's not very clear. The young man with the dark shirt, the guy close to him, sitting down. Unbelievable story. I want to share it with you. We have a staff in Syria. He resigned from the security apparatus of the Syrian army. He retired. And started praying, Lord, give me a man of influence. Lord, give me a man of influence to share the gospel so they can come to know Christ. He will sit outside his house under the tree. I took a picture of the tree. First week, second week, third week, nothing happened. Lord, why? I'm praying. I'm kneeling. Lord, please. The fourth week, an imam, you know, imam who was a mosque, like a priest in a mosque, 500 people in his mosque, passed by wanting to go to somewhere. So he asked Abu Isam, his name is Abu Isam. He asked Abu Isam, our Christian brother, where is this house? So he told him. But he told them, please, before you go, I want you to know, I've been praying for you for 4 weeks. I want to share with you about the best news you will ever hear. The news of Isa al-Masih. He looked at him. He says, sorry, I cannot stay now, but I will come back next Saturday. So Abu Isam sitting in his chair under his tree, waiting. And guess what? He showed up. To make a long story short, after about 9 months, Abu Wai, came to know Jesus Christ. I mean, it was a fantastic transformation. He went to his congregation, right, to start talking about love and forgiveness, not necessarily about Jesus Christ, because they might shoot him, but at least it starts to convey the values. To start with, after about 3 months of this lovey, hushy, mushy forgiveness thing, the board met and says, you know what? We don't like this hushy, mushy thing. We want justice. We want boom, bilalamba, hilo ho. He left the mosque. He's a taxi driver. He led his 7 kids to the Lord. Their husbands, their wives, his 2 sisters. There's about 11 to 13 people because of this one man. And we believe, we are praying that Abu Wai will become our country leader, helping this Arabic country to really reach their tribes and their people. And while he's doing taxi driving, he talks so openly, but in a very respectful, very respectful way, not confrontation, not in an attacking mode. And people are listening. I tell you, isn't that something? Oh, another story. His daughter, before she came to know the Lord, was engaged to a man. This has just happened the last year, so this is off the press almost. But with this new faith, with a transformation happening in her life, she starts saying, wait a minute. My fiancé doesn't believe what I believe. How are we going to tie the knot? So she consulted with her father and family, because everything there is family unit. And she told them, you know what? I really want to break this engagement. And to break an engagement coming from a woman, believe me, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. The family supported her. They broke the engagement. The fiancé threatened he will not take them to court. There are two things here. A huge financial compensation, which they don't have. And second, it's a dishonoring the family and dishonoring this beautiful young newborn babe in Christ. Finally, after prayer, worldwide we were praying for this situation to be resolved. God sent a man of peace who knows both families. He convinced the ex-fiancé not to take them to court. He also convinced him somehow the financial compensation would be, instead of $8,000, $700, just as an example. And $700 is still a large amount. But something amazing happened to this man of peace. As he got into the problems of the families, asking questions, in 6 months, as he studied the Gospel of John, he became a follower of Jesus. Is God able? You know, all what we've heard yesterday, you've heard yesterday. Knowledge is good. Understanding the culture and what they think is very good. If we really love them, we want them to come to know Christ, we got to understand them. You know, they have a mind which is totally different than you and me. To be honest with you, after living here for 30 years, my first trip, I have to kind of deprogram myself. Say, wait a minute, I have to think like an Arab. I have to think, you know. But praise the Lord, God had given us a unique opportunity. I take the best of this society, the best of that culture, but anyway, our guideline and living blueprints is really the Word of God, which is universal throughout. So that's what's happening there. This picture. There is the first one on the right, you know, this our missionary in Lebanon. And Syria, helping us in Syria too. The other guy, Nuhad, he escaped Iraq, came to Syria, was imprisoned, came to know Christ. In the prison, he was doing like Paul, sharing the gospel with prisoners. Man, I tell you, then after a while, they found him, wow, man, he's not a bad guy. Even though, interestingly, he never said, I don't believe in Christ, no. He was really trying to live a life. And then they let him go. He came to Lebanon, and we are working with him. The other guy by me, he's from Tripoli, Lebanon. Sunni background. Came to know Christ. He's working with the church. We partner, by the way, we partner with the Injili, the evangelical church, both in Egypt and Lebanon, and also the Baptist church. You know, because we really need each other. when you are in those places, you know. And then the guy with the tie, he's our region country leader in Egypt. The guy by him, he's Iraqi. He is so hot for the Lord, a Muslim background. So hot for the Lord. Unbelievable. Oh, I forgot to tell you about Fuad, this fellow. He has been a follower of Christ for 10 months. He put me to shame, Pastor Ferguson. Verses. He knows the Word of God more than anybody I've known. I mean, he can tell you verses like this. He has 2 degrees. He's working on his third. He is so smart. I'm afraid to argue with him, you know. But we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the right words. And amazing. He gives us the right words at the right time. And then the rest, this guy from Egypt, by him, he's an Iraqi, Haider. And then the more mature, politically correct, huh? The more mature saint, he's our country leader in Egypt. He is an expert in Islam. I love to listen to him, how he uses the Word of God, you know, the Injil, to really dig out 93 verses from the Quran, which talks about Jesus. So he starts on a common ground and bring them to the Injil. And amazing, amazing. You know what? I tell you, I've never learned and been stretched in my knowledge, in my journey of life, like God is doing today. You know, praise God for Kodak. I've loved it. I miss many of my Kodak colleagues. But wow, I'm learning like a Christmas day. I'm waking up in the morning and I think the Lord have put so hundreds of toys in front of me. And play with them, Abraham, you know? Woo. I don't know. Crazy guy, I know. Is it not yet a very little while and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field? And the fruitful field shall be counted as a forest. And in that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of their gloom and darkness, and the meek shall increase joy in Jehovah, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. That's our prayer. Not only in Lebanon, but all across the Middle East. Isaiah 29. Just to tease you a little bit with some pictures from Lebanon. Lebanon is a beautiful country. I'm not a tourism representative, by the way, of Lebanon. I'm not getting paid from the government of Lebanon. But it's really beautiful. There's one town in the U.S. which reminds me of Lebanon. It's in California, Santa Barbara. Have you been in Santa Barbara? Oh, the ocean, and then you have the mountain. Woo! I said, Lord, I cannot afford a house in Santa Barbara, though. However, I can pitch a tent and get a camel. You know, we can be very good, man, I tell you. And that's the cedar of Lebanon, and you're aware of the significance of the cedar and King Solomon and all of that. And then the Roman ruin, Baalbek. Now, just to give you, you see this white dot here? That's a person. Lebanon, really, it's a beautiful country for tourism. We just are praying that it will be stabilized, and you know, and this is me and my hubby 5 years ago, under an arch which Achille Imperator, the French Napoleon went under. Alexander the Great, sorry. My wife is the brain of the family. I'm just the dummy latching out to her, you know? Can I, in 5 years ago, we went, me and Mary, we went to downtown Beirut. This is only a few more minutes. And we were in tears, listening to this. Now, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Let's pray that it will work. Well, we'll see. We will, maybe from my computer. Is it working? Is it? Something is happening. I don't know what, but yeah.
It starts to play. So grateful for people who make me look smart when it comes to this.
Yes. Oh, here.
You are blessing me abundantly.
Amen. I want to be your servant, brother. I'm a servant. How about that?
There was a big conference rally downtown Beirut by evangelical and Baptist. And if you see the cross, you see that cross, you know, I said, wow, this is awesome. And then in the perimeter, you see lots of people covered, just watching what's going on. Who are these crazy people, you know? And they were joyful downtown Beirut. Oh, I said, wow, Lord, amen. We're claiming this country for you. It's going to happen. It is happening. And then another one. Also, it might take another 5 minutes of your precious time. Here it is. This is one of our meeting. As it's loading, in one home, we have like 11 people, three Christians and the rest were Muslims. And a daughter of a father starts singing a hymn. I want to tell you what that hymn. Mary, what's that hymn about? Harrar, ya harrartni ya Yeshua. How? Yeah. Yeah, something Jesus freed me from the reign of Satan. You know, in Arabic. It's unbelievable. I mean, you cannot... When you know the culture, the background, and how long, and the power to bring them to this line, to the kingdom of God, you cannot but have tears in your eyes. You can't. And just glory the Lord, you know? It's unbelievable. So this is in Arabic. I know you all understand it. But the reason I'm sharing this with you is that they really enjoy the Lord as you all are. You know, there is a joy. Honestly, in poverty, you don't feel like they are poor. You know, they are rejoicing. And every time I go, I learn so much. Say, oh Lord. You know, sometimes I complain I don't have a garment for my stupid car. You know, I know you don't, but I do once in a while. Lord, you know, we are so much blessed. We are so much blessed. You are so much blessed. Let's just thank the Lord for all His blessings. You know, one of the things I've learned to do, and it was difficult in the beginning, I looked into the background of my life. I call it the helicopter ride. And from the beginning of my life, and count the blessings, and written them, this year what happened. And when Satan attacks, when the storms are hard, guess where I go? To the roadmap of my spiritual life. I look at God's blessing. Look. And then the conclusion is, Abraham, this shall pass also. This shall pass also. And then I think I'm done, brother.
Okay. That's about the way I end every sermon. I think I'm done.
No, I'm seriously done. A heart for one, Middle East. I will leave you with this verse. But seeing the crowds, he was moved with compassion on them because they were tired and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous. Brothers and sisters, it is plenteous. But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will send out laborers into His harvest." May God send more laborers. And it's a privilege to share with you. Thank you so much.
for this invitation. God bless you.
You will come back, won't you? You will come back.
If you want me, I will be back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We cannot afford, as God's people, to take on the present attitude of the world against Muslims. We can't. This is why. This is our call to reach men for Christ. And it doesn't matter if they are called Muslim or something else. They need our Savior. Mm-hmm. We can't let the world's attitude, especially American attitudes since 9/11, eclipse what has to happen here. Thank you so much. This is just... Father, as we said earlier, you are giving us an enormous opportunity in our day. The rise and the invasion of Islam is not to be met with guns and bombs and military armaments. It is to be met with prayer and the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. Make us that army. Raise us up with the bravery and the fervor to conquer men's souls by spiritual means, and to put away all sense of human faculty, and to win these with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May we love our neighbor as Christ has loved us. In the power of your Spirit and in the magnificent transforming message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you for bringing us the Shaloubs. Thank you for their kinship, for their fellowship, for their passion. Raise up a million more so that we invade, so that the counter invasion lifts up Christ. Bless them in their endeavors and help us to grow close to them, to pray for them. Lord, to find what means we can to advance this ministry, your kingdom, everywhere we can. Lord, we ask your blessing on these things and ask that you'll dismiss us in your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you know, we do have to exit here by noon, but I'm sure our brother and his wife and friends even would be glad to talk with you, answer questions. And if questions become an issue, then we'll just drag him back here to do nothing but questions for us when we get an opportunity, okay? Thank you so much. Bless you. You're dismissed.